This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
As we continue to stream live on the ESPN app, guests on SiriusXM 371, multiple radio stations throughout the ACC footprint, numbers 844-SAY-ACCN.
You know that in the next set of weeks, we're going to move into kind of a vacation phase of the Packer and Durham program, where you and I will have vacation and that type thing. Like,
finally,
I am next week.
Finally,
I am next week, and you are the week after that. And we're going to have guest hosts and such. And then there'll be, who knows, maybe there'll be the occasional day where neither Packer nor Durham are here. And we're going to need someone incredibly reliable to be a part of this show. And I think we found him, don't you? Let's welcome him to this program, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's see if he wants to do it.
Anish Roth.
Wait a minute. But first of all, let's see if Anish has any interest in doing it. We're sitting here talking about, well, we're both gone, yada, yada, yada. And Anish is like, I don't want to do that.
Anish,
who wants to do that for a living?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I've got more work for you.
Yeah, right. Anish, welcome to the show. Hey, I got some good news for you. You're going to be really busy, really, really busy here in the upcoming couple of weeks. Maybe Anish is like, hey, maybe I need a vacation. Anish did one show last week and said, I need a vacation from this nonsense.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's right. Oh, yeah, come on. Man.
All right, let's get into it.
You better be careful. Like, you leave me in the room long enough, I'm liable to burn the place down. So be careful.
Okay. That's not going to happen.
All right.
But I'll tell you what, the ACC may burn it down because, hey, it's lacrosse season, my man. We're now into postseason play. Ooh. And no surprise to see the men's side with 16 slots, all five ACC teams good to go, including Syracuse. And the Cuse got in.
Yeah, not a huge surprise the way all the championship tournaments and conference tournaments and the other leagues broke. I thought they would be in. Wasn't a huge surprise they weren't a seeded team, but I'll tell you this. The draw for Syracuse, if you're a Syracuse fan waking up today and you're saying, man, who are we going to play in the first round? The two teams you wanted to avoid in that first round, Denver and Lehigh. Why? Well, the way Denver moves the ball, it exposes your defense, which is an issue for Syracuse. Denver also has maybe the best faceoff guy of all time in the history of the game. And Lehigh's got an elite faceoff guy, too. You play a Georgetown team, they're good on faceoffs. The issue with Georgetown this year, they haven't really played a tough schedule. Syracuse has. And if you get past that game, Virginia is likely waiting for Syracuse. And that is the one team that Syracuse has beaten twice. And for whatever reason, they match up really well against UVA.
All right, let's switch to UVA, who is a four seed. Is that a surprise, you think, for Lars Tiffany?
No, that's probably where I had them, right, as a four or a five. Their big challenge is they haven't played in 3 weeks. Lars scheduled all their games, assuming there might be a cancellation or two and they'd have to make up a game, and they went right up to the limit of the maximum games allowed, 15. That includes a scrimmage, and there were no cancellations. So they had to go 3 weeks without a game, and it's interesting. He has relied now on Bronco Mendenhall to navigate what is essentially bowl season and the weeks leading up to a bowl game. That's where Virginia's at right now.
All right. The North Carolina men and women are the top seeds in lacrosse, which, again, is that in itself is an accomplishment. But as far as the men go, first time the number one seed since 93, the Heels finished strong. Needless to say, I think it's why they're the number one seed. Big picture, Anish, the 16-netter in, would you say North Carolina is the team to beat?
Not definitively, because North Carolina, Notre Dame, Duke, Virginia, and Maryland, all capable of winning a national title. Denver, I throw in there as a wild card, but given their draw, more of a long shot. I will say this, having seen North Carolina a bunch of times this season, when they play at their best, they are the best team in the country. They can face off, they can get possessions, they ride you. That is the lacrosse equivalent of a full court press. They like to create chaos. They thrive off chaos. And offensively, you can set their offense to Mozart or Chopin or Beethoven. When that ball moves, it is it's beautiful lacrosse to watch. Offensively, when they're clicking, nobody's better. And this is a game right now where offense wins. So at its best, North Carolina to me is the best team. But I can't say definitively that they're the prohibitive favorite like they are on the women's side.
All right. Anish, I'm big on seeing if we could get four ACC teams on the men and four on the women. Give me just my ballpark chances of something like that.
Okay, so I think on the women's side, UNC is probably as close to a lock as you can get. I really like BC to win their half of the bracket, and if it's not BC, it'll be Notre Dame. So you're probably looking at, you know, at least two. And then on the other side of the women's bracket, I do think Northwestern's going to be one of the four. So I don't think it's going to be four out of four. I do think Northwestern's a little bit better than Duke. But Syracuse certainly has a chance. They've shown that they're resilient, even though they're down their two best players. I think on the women's side, getting three is reasonable. Getting three on the men's side is very reasonable, maybe even four. And you guys were talking about it before you went to break. How is Notre Dame a six seed? Valid question, because Notre Dame, I'm not sure there's one team better than Notre Dame, which has been so consistent. Notre Dame's got a favorable bracket. I thought Notre Dame for sure would be a four or a five, and that would have meant a pairing with Virginia in the quarterfinals. It's the last thing either team wanted, to go ACC, ACC before you get to the semis. Well, now they get Maryland, and Maryland, as good as they are, Maryland has not played a team like Notre Dame. And you know where that quarterfinal is? It's in South Bend. If Notre Dame wins that game, they likely get Duke in the semifinals, a team they should have beat twice. They beat once, should have beat them the second time. Then you win that game, you're playing on Memorial Day. So Notre Dame's got a great draw. Virginia, Syracuse can even get the championship weekend. Since the tournament expanded in 2003, the one seed has gotten a championship weekend in every year but one. So history bodes well for Carolina as well.
All right, here's a legit question. What is harder to contain, North Carolina's men's lacrosse team offensively, or right now your hair?
Ooh. Oh, the hair. The hair. I mean, this isn't even it's gotten to the point I go to bed at night these days and I got to wear a man bun. Like, I asked my wife, I said, can you get one of your, you know, ponytail, little rubber band things? Because it gets in my face, it gets in my hair.
Wow.
Full disclosure, the goal was not to, like, have it grow out to, like, homeless chic, which is where it is now. But the reason we're letting it go, it's actually for a good cause. Our friend, Paul Carcaterra, one of our great lacrosse analysts, has been cutting hair since he was 11, 12 years old. So he said, hey, if you let it grow Memorial Day weekend, we will cut your hair. He'll cut it. And we'll raise money for charity in the process. So I said, all right, I'm a sucker for a good cause. So that's the plan. That's why it's as obscene as it is right now. It's for a good cause.
Yeah, I knew we talked about this last week. Right? I knew we talked about this last week. But, I mean, literally, every week I see you, it's like, oh, my God, how's he going to make it to Memorial Day? I mean, it's May the 10th. You got 3 weeks, man. 3 weeks. It is going to be down to your ankles in 3 weeks.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I grew up about 7 minutes from the New Jersey Meadowlands, and we'd go to Devils games, and when the Penguins were in town, my friends and I would yell at Jaromir Jagr, get a haircut. And for whatever reason, that's been surfacing in my head, because now here I am. So sorry, Jaromir.
That's great.
Yeah. A couple of things here I want to go back to the lacrosse on. One, the ACC success is obvious this year, and we're hoping that it cashes out at the end, Memorial Weekend, on both the men's and women's side. Here's the thing I want to ask you about Syracuse, and we've watched this thing play out on the news side, Anish, and that's this bizarre scene on Friday that's been widely reported in Central New York regarding Chase Scanlon, who was their leading scorer, goal scorer. You know, obviously last year in the shortened season got off to a great start, arrested and charged with this criminal mischief misdemeanor. And it happened at Manly Fieldhouse, away from the team, but still nonetheless, the environment, all the weirdness about this, and now a suspension from all athletic activity. This has been a lot for John Desko and everybody else on that team to handle, it seems like.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? They played on Friday against Robert Morris, and that was an important game for them. And I wonder, Chase Scanlon had been arrested, what, 3 hours, 4 hours before mm-hmm. that game started. And I said, I wonder what kind of team shows up. Will it be a distracted team? Yeah. They scored 9 goals in the first quarter. Now, they still have issues on the defensive side. They still have issues facing off. That has nothing to do with Chase Scanlon. They looked relieved. Mm-hmm. If you go back and see how this story unfolded, right after they beat North Carolina, the Monday after, he's suspended indefinitely. He's reinstated exactly 1 week later, and a lot of people wondered, well, why? Why was he reinstated? Mm-hmm. The simple answer is Title IX. Title IX affords the accused, under new laws that were passed last summer, more protection in cases like Scanlon, which is a domestic case. So Syracuse had no choice but to reinstate him. And then you got what came out from the team. There were reports that the team would not practice with this guy, would not play if he was still practicing with the team or he was still on the team. And all of a sudden you wondered, well, John Desko said I reinstated him. Well, John Desko had no choice in the matter. There's still a lot more information to come out, and some of the court documents and some of what the victim is alleging, if that's true, it's a bad look, obviously, for the university and for the player. And again, I think we got to wait for a lot of this stuff to come out. But from a pure lacrosse standpoint, Wes, I think it's a relief. The players, when that story came out that, hey, we don't want to play with this guy, I mean, that tells you a lot. And then when he gets arrested 3 hours before their game on Friday and they score 9 goals in the first quarter, that tells me they weren't distracted. And it almost seems that this at least temporary resolution to this saga, I think, can help and galvanize the Syracuse team. I think they're going to be better for it.
At the end of the day, Anish, when it comes to the ACC, though, getting to the Final Four, if you will, the number should be what? Realistic number for the ACC?
Three. Yeah, they got a very favorable draw. North Carolina, I think, has got a really clean road. Lehigh and Rutgers are teams that, if they'll face in the second round in the quarterfinals, they're much better than those teams. Notre Dame's got a chance. I mean, they'll play Maryland, who I think is very good. And Maryland fans right now, they've got a gripe. Hey, we were undefeated. We won the Big Ten. Big Ten played a conference-only schedule, and it wasn't a great year for the league. How did we get a 3 seed over a couple of teams with 2 losses? And now you got to go to Notre Dame in the quarterfinals. Maryland will be charged, but Maryland hasn't seen a team like Notre Dame. Not close. And Notre Dame has been the most consistent team. They're the most complete team. So Maryland, Notre Dame, Duke can all get there. And then I think Georgetown's capable of making a run to championship weekend. But that first game against Syracuse, that's a toss-up. And then if you get Syracuse, Virginia in the quarters, you're guaranteed one team getting a championship weekend. So this bracket from an ACC perspective broke really well for the league. They've got a real chance to get all four. But I would think at least three.
Great stuff as always. Thank you. Appreciate your time, and looking forward to seeing the coverage of the NCAA lacrosse tournament.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Anish Shroff does a fabulous job. Looking forward to the Memorial Day haircut. We got to get more details on that as we get closer, Pac. Find out what that's all about.
I wasn't aware until Anish mentioned it last week that Kark is a really good hair cutter. Who knew? I mean, he's invited us for dinner for some chicken parm, and now he's got some skill with the scissors, and he's great on the air. Guy's got it going on, man.
Yeah.
Talented dude. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back, more on this Packer and Durham Monday. Justin Henry Malloy, bottom of the hour with us, but up next... Hey, wait a second. Just before it becomes law, we thought we'd add our 10 cents. Mark Emmert and the NCAA on name, image, and likeness when Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life, continue.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Justin Henry Malloy from Georgia Tech Baseball will make his debut on the program coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Now, Mr. Durham, last hour you had mentioned that you had received a note.
Yes, sir. Folks would like to see the field hockey sticks. Again, we mentioned that you had these.
I do.
Karen Shelton sent us the first one, and then Aaron Mattson was able to help us acquire the second one.
All right, here's the second
one. Of these limited edition national championship field hockey sticks, right?
Yep.
There they are.
Right there. National champions.
And now Pack has also said that these double as back scratchers.
They're awesome. They really are. They're perfect. Now, the only issue, because they're perfect. Like, they're the perfect length for lower back scratchers. And so Karen Shelton sent us one. And then Aaron Mattson was able to confiscate us and get us another one. And so now that they've gone back to back to back, we're going to need the part three of this. Now, the thing that you got to be careful with these in the basement is that when you mention any kind of the word like blank stick, big boy Fuller, his one ear perks up. And let me tell you something. The fin perks, and he's ready to chew. So I got to be real careful with these. That's why I put them up on the top shelf so big boy doesn't take them over. But that's the real deal right there. Now, these are right-handed. I'm a lefty, Wes, so you know, I've got to go the other way. Get that golf game going again. Bring up my field hockey sticks, put them in the bag.
Yeah, that's the other breaking news this morning is that Pack's former teammates on the Clemson golf team in the 80s are pressuring him to come out of golf retirement.
For a weekend.
To play in a weekend boondoggle at a very, very exclusive destination.
Would be true. And let me
go
ahead and give
all the equipment overhaul for the Pac-Man, by the way.
No
full
question.
Equipment overhaul.
Well, let me give out the participants here. Dillard Pruitt, terrific. He's a great college player. Was on the PGA Tour, then worked for the PGA Tour, now retired. He's chilling out.
Yeah.
Julian Taylor, who has worked for
Titleist
since 1984 and was a tremendous
player.
Well,
there's your hook on the equipment. There's the equipment hook.
You would think.
Julian can take care of all that.
It should be easy. Norman Chapman, who was a great player as well, down there in Spartanburg, who, by the way, told me he just had dinner with a distinguished ACC basketball coach. Would you like to take a guess who that was with?
Roy Williams?
Mike Young.
Oh, yeah. And Virginia Polytechnic Institute.
And Coach Young was surprised that Norman knew me. And so they got into some crazy conversation. Huh. And Jim McPhee was the other one who was involved in this foursome that wants to inquire about my services.
Yeah.
Jim McPhee was a tremendous player. He was in the same year I was. So Julian Taylor, Dillard Pruitt, Norman Chapman, Jim McPhee. Those are the culprits.
Mark Packer.
And Dillard kept giving me bourbon from somebody else's stock at Rich Davies' house. So it was top shelf Friday night.
Here's the deal. We have set the scoring mark over under at 110, putting everything out for your return to golf. Okay? We've set it at 110.
I'd beat
this is
110.
A 20-odd year layoff from the sport.
I'd beat 110.
110 has been the early number. Yeah, you can beat 110?
Yeah. Easy.
Okay.
I haven't touched it in 24 years. I can break 110. Come on.
Okay. All right.
Guys, you talking.
I'm going to say you're putting everything out. You're going to play an exclusive destination. Yeah. I'm going to say you will not break 110 in 20-some years off.
You guys are going to lose your shirt. I'll tell you what. I'll bet you a
and
Michael
we're playing
Jordan.
18.
I'll bet you
18
a Michael
professional
Jordan,
golf holes.
That's 18 real holes. I'll bet you a Michael Jordan worn North Carolina jersey. I break 110.
Okay. All right.
If you think
we'll
I
have to have an arbiter on site to count the shots.
You're dealing with Dillard Pruitt, Norman Chapman, Jim McPhee.
I understand.
Julian Taylor. I mean, what do you mean? You need sworn affidavit.
I'm going to need to talk to.
Let me ask you this: chance that I can break 110 or a golf cart ends up in the lake. What's a better chance?
The 110. All right, we'll have this. We'll keep. We need to talk to Pruitt and Julian Taylor at some point in the near future. By the way, about this, I'm convinced of that.
Right.
I know, and I'm looking forward to having them on the show. Okay, Let me give you the one news item in the Friday news dump, courtesy of the National Collegiate Athletic Association.
Are we really talking about this? Seriously.
I cannot believe – I can believe it's happening, but I knew that there would come a tipping point on this, and this it happened Friday with the New York Times. When Mark Emmert told the New York Times on Friday, he's now pushing for approval of NIL guidance before or close to July 1. Well, no kidding. Because the last thing the membership wants is 50 states and 50 different rules. Okay? Now, remember, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and New Mexico are all set to take effect on July 1. That allows NCAA athletes in some way to profit off their name, image, and likeness. The NCAA, a week ago, we continue to discuss modernizing the name, image, and likeness rules and regulations. And now they want rules by July 1 to cover the states so the states can't say what it is and isn't going to be, because that is nothing but pure chaos, Pac. Bottom line.
When I saw this story, the first thing that popped in my head is, all right, somebody needs to come clean. Who's the guy that woke up Mark Emmert from a deep, deep sleep? I mean, they've been sound asleep at the switch here. And now all of a sudden, Mark, yep. I demand by July 1st, please, don't insult yourselves anymore. It has become comical. And that's why I said, I can't believe we're going to talk about this, because I'm done talking about these guys. You know, you either get in front of the parade and say, hey, here is our plan, right, and let's go get active and get in front of it, or you go sound asleep, go get some more croissants, create some more subdivision committee meetings, and let's have another meeting to have to talk about when our next meeting. That's what they do. They are the most inactive group I have ever seen when it comes in front of getting in front of an issue and solving a problem. They are incapable of doing that. Incapable.
I hate to put dirt on the grave,
but I will, because this organization, and when I saw this story, I just started laughing. Like, where have you been?
I did too.
Where have you been for the last couple years? Just asking. It's a joke.
I agree with you. I think it shows a complete lack of leadership from Indianapolis.
Zero.
And it's been showing a complete lack of leadership from Indianapolis. And now we're on the verge of, we're less than 60 days from some of these states enacting these laws. And yes, they're all in the basic ballpark, but they've all got their differences about them too. And promise you, there will be gray areas that will be developing from one state to another. I mean, Alabama to Georgia, there'll be gray area. Mississippi, there'll be gray area. It's all in the cards here. And the idea that the NCAA is late to this party and going to ride in on the white horse and solve it all by July 1, embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. For the membership, of course, Pac. Always the membership.
It's the same story. I got nothing. I have nothing else to add, because I say the same thing every time when it comes to Mark Emmert.
Yep. All right. Sit tight. When we come back, one of the stars of the weekend in ACC baseball is Justin Henry Molloy of Georgia Tech. Hey, sends him home happy on Saturday. We will talk to the Jacket third baseman after a big weekend in Atlanta next on Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Welcome to Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
Packer and Durham. Time for another debut, Mr. Durham, because the Jackets are fresh off a three-game sweep of Clemson over the weekend. And a gentleman had something to do with it, especially that walk-off, because it was a bomb, is Justin Henry Molloy. All right, look at that big smile. Justin, listen, if you didn't have a good weekend this weekend, I can't help you, because your boys took care of business, man. That was strong, a big-time sweep at the right time of the year.
Absolutely. I think with how our season's been going, kind of riding the ups and downs, I think that was a big statement weekend, and I'm happy we were able to do it. We haven't had a weekend like that since NC State, which was in the real beginning of the season. So I think that'll kind of build us going forward.
Justin, a lot of things can happen in a weekend in ACC baseball, and we've learned with kind of the, you know, the abbreviated midweek schedule, and I know you guys have big midweek games coming up, especially the one against Georgia at home next week, that kind of thing. But to win on Friday night against Clemson, did you just feel the momentum building? Here come the Tigers. They've been playing very well. You guys had kind of scuffled a little bit. That's Coach Hall's term, not mine. What does the Friday night win mean to the rest of the weekend?
I think Friday is a huge win in all series, not just this one. It sets the tone for the weekend. It allows for us to just kind of build off of what we did. And it kind of, you know, takes some pressure off. Not to say that there's not pressure going into Saturday or Sunday, but winning Friday night allows you to know that we need to win one more game to clinch a series. And we did that. And I think it was awesome to be able to win on Friday night. And it kind of just kept the momentum for us going into Saturday and then Sunday.
Okay, Friday's one thing, but let's talk about Saturday. All right, let's talk about how that bad boy ended on Saturday, where all of a sudden, the second it left the bat, you had to go ball game. Let's walk this thing off.
Yeah, it was kind of a surreal feeling. Just off the bat, I was kind of like, "Oh wow!" Like it was a great feeling. On Friday night, I hit a ball pretty good, and it got caught right at the wall. So I was kind of nervous with the ball leaving the bat. I was really hoping that it would leave the ballpark. But, I mean, I put a good swing on it in a plus count for me, and I was able to kind of help us out. So it was a fun weekend for us. It's a moment that I'll have forever. My family was here. They haven't been down here since the Pitt series. And I gave the ball to my mom. DH found the ball, gave it to me after the game. And I gave the ball to my mom. Happy early Mother's Day.
Oh, very cool. That's excellent. That is cool.
Yeah. All right, so the walk-off Saturday – and then yesterday, I mean, you come off the 6-5 win Saturday. And then yesterday, you guys fall behind, what, 5-0 before,
six.
You know, hey, by the way.
6-0.
6-0 before you're trying to get this thing back in gear, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, I think that was kind of not really a culture shock, but it was more like, okay, like, we're in a ball game. This isn't a dead team, a Clemson team that's coming in very hot. Although we did just beat them twice, this is still a very good team. So they kind of punched us in the mouth. So it was kind of a character building moment where we got to figure out whether we're going to come back and, you know, win this thing, or we could just kind of lay down and just say, all right, we clinched the series. This game really doesn't matter. And I think it was a great sign for us to be able to kind of just be able to punch back, not lay down, and just kind of get runners on base and do what we do and just kind of chip away. We ended up not really chipping away. We had a big seven-run inning, but it was good. It was a great moment for us, and I'm proud of our team. I'm very proud.
Justin, it's one thing to say, hey, we got the sweep against a team that's red hot, but it also puts you in first place in the Coastal standings. I know you can't do so much scoreboard watching. You still got business at hand. Got the tournament coming up here in 2 or 3 weeks. But big picture, despite the ups and the downs, I mean, you do keep score. And the fact that, hey, today Georgia Tech's in first place should mean something, shouldn't it?
Absolutely, it should. I think it's a great thing that we're in first place. But at the same time, the job's not over. We have plenty more series to go. We got Miami right in front of us. And then after that, we got UNC. So just kind of not thinking big picture, just kind of taking it day by day, week by week. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is a good thing that we're in first place, but we do have a lot more work to do.
Justin, I want to, before we get to some apparel questions here, I want to ask you about starting your college career at Vanderbilt. I know you're from New Jersey. You started at Vanderbilt. You transferred to Georgia Tech. You've kind of seen college baseball in two of the premier leagues in the country. This sport kind of gets lost a little bit when it gets started during the year because of basketball and some of the other things. And maybe even in the pandemic with a reduced schedule of games. But now to have this opportunity to kind of get to the end of the line on this season, what's that mean to someone like yourself?
It means a lot. I feel like throughout my collegiate career, I've been through a lot. Just being able to kind of wait my turn, see how things go about, and then getting the opportunity here and getting the opportunity at the end of the year to do something pretty cool. And I think this team could do something very special. So I'm excited. Again, much work to be done, but I'm very excited to what's about to happen for us.
You know, we see that 305 batting average, but I can tell you when we do best plays of the week, you have appeared multiple times down there on third base making some serious plays with the glove. More satisfaction at the plate or with your defense?
It's equal. It's all equal. Defense could lead to hitting or hitting could lead to defense. It really doesn't matter to me. They all hold the same amount of weight. Still pretty cool to, you know, make some defensive plays and, you know, just kind of do it on both sides of the ball, not being one dimensional. So just trying to still working on defense, still working on everything. But, you know, it's fun. It's fun.
All right. Let's get to the apparel. We saw three different looks in the home series against Clemson. We saw the navy blue tops. We saw the pinstripes. And then we saw what I'm going to call the honeybee look on Sunday. I don't know what you guys call it. Now, Packer and I were talking to you during the break. You kind of like the honeybee Sunday. Is that what you – well, first of all, what do you guys call that jersey?
Oh, we just call them the Golds. We don't really, you know, have any type of name for them. But, you know, personally, I like them. I think they're different. Just gold on gold, and I think it's a good look. It's not too bad, but like you said – I feel like younger guys like us like pretty different stuff. So,
it. Yeah,
I do not mind them whatsoever, and they're really comfortable. So that actually plays a huge part in how much I like these uniforms. They're really comfortable. They're light, but I love them.
All right. Do you have another color combination that you like better than that one?
My favorite are the pinstripes.
All right. Cool.
Those are easily my favorite. I'm a big Yankee fan. I love wearing pinstripes. I have a little picture of me when I was about 7 years old on Halloween wearing pinstripes. So I love pinstripes. But I would say other than that, I like our new combination of the blue top and white pants.
See, I do too. Okay. I got to be honest with you. If I had to rank them, this is just me. I would have ranked them Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I like the pinstripes too. Mm-hmm. I, you know, some teams can pull that off. Like, for example, you transferred from Vandy. When Vandy wears their black and their gold pinstripe, my eyes hurt. Right? Some pinstripes don't work. Some don't work. Vandy's got a great club. You know that. But that just doesn't look right. Yeah. It looks like just a bad comic book idea. All right. It's just like, let's go back to the drawing board. Some teams can pull that off and some can't. But for me, your Friday would be one, your Saturday was two, and your Sunday was three. That's just me.
Absolutely respect it. I love the Friday unis as well. So, but yeah. I have to say the pinstripes are my favorite.
Okay, I can buy that. I can buy it.
I want to dive into this a little bit. Who else in the league? Who's got a look that you kind of like? Wow, that Notre Dame, that all green. That's a risk. NC State, the all red, that's a risk. Is there anybody who you say, wait a second, now they're trying something here. That's okay. I'll go with that. Or is there somebody you're like, I don't know that I could wear that?
Well, I remember on Sunday when we played NC State, it was kind of like a little color rush game. So they had their all reds and we had our all golds. So I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, honestly, the NC State all red, I think it's a good look. I'm not going to say anything about their uniforms.
Yeah, okay.
But, I mean, it's different. It's different. That's about it. But I would say they pull it off well. They got the guys to pull it off. So I would say they're a B+.
Hey, Justin, if NC State isn't on the schedule, you can be honest about it.
They've already played them, but they may play them
in
the tournament.
Favorite,
that's the
then.
Problem.
Oh, there
they
you go.
The
that's the correct answer. There's the right answer. That's the right answer. All right. Here's our traditional question to every student athlete. Since you've been at Georgia Tech, what has been your hardest class?
Ooh.
My hardest class. Honestly, God, I would say it was my English class in my first semester, only because, like, it was just a ton of writing. It was just, you know, an essay every week. It was a 6-pager every week. So I would just say that class was just a bunch of work. A lot of my other classes have been very difficult, but I've been able to manage. And I would say this semester, Spanish was pretty difficult.
Interesting. You know, of all the Georgia Tech student athletes, we always get calc or something. There's some kind of mechanical number, whatever. I think you were the first Georgia Tech student athlete to say English and then threw in a little Spanish on the side. I don't think we've had that yet, Wes, that combination.
It's been a while since we've had Spanish, Pac.
What was that, Wes?
I said it's been a while since we've had Spanish, period, but Justin joins a fairly elite group with Spanish now, doesn't he?
Well, had Justin transferred from Vanderbilt to Louisville and answered Spanish, I'd have gone, of course, because apparently everybody in Louisville is having issues with the Spanish department. But Justin, listen, you're a smart guy. Anybody goes to Vanderbilt and then transfers to Georgia Tech, you got your head on straight. And you're obviously playing at a great, great level. And again, congratulations on the sweep. Wish you the best in that ACC baseball tournament here in my backyard in a couple weeks. That is going to be incredibly competitive. It's going to be unbelievable.
I'm excited. I'm excited to compete. I'm excited to get in that environment. And I think our team has the tools to be successful in that environment. So I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Should be.
All right. Justin Henry Malloy, appreciate you being here, my man. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
You bet. Don't forget, we got ACC baseball for you this week right here on the network as well. Our coverage will take you all the way through, up and through the championships in Charlotte. Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, we'll take you to Blacksburg for Liberty and Virginia Tech, second game of their annual home-and-home series. Flames won the first one in mid-April, 8-2. Hokies are looking for the split, 6 o'clock Eastern, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, Dallin Cuff will join us top of the hour. We got top plays of the weekend. And, oh, hey, Justin Henry Malloy's there. And Clemson softball. Mackenzie Clark off the wall does an unbelievable job. Back after this on Packer and Durham presented by New York Life.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. Coming up at the top of the Power Hour, Dallin Cuff will break down today's men's action in the NCAA soccer tournament. Then at 9:30, we have been sworn to secrecy. Again, no slip-ups, no leaks. We will have the ACC Golf Awards right here on Packer and Durham.
That's it.
Presented by New York Life, 9:30.
And a developing story has emerged from the weekend. Anguilla has shut down, causing great strife on the Packer vacation front.
It did, because we were back to square one. We got this news at the tail end. I was doing the radio show Friday night before we're getting ready to hightail it over down at Quail Hollow. And, man, it really ruined us.
Yeah.
We figured it out Saturday and came up with a plan B, but, man, that was not easy, Wes. That whole flight and international and COVID and – what a mess. What a headache that was.
So after thoughtful consideration was given by the Packer family to maybe go down to the North Carolina-South Carolina line and south of the border right there in the off 95, thoughtful consideration was given to maybe spending 3 nights there. It's going to be off to another exotic location.
Yeah, after a while, I just looked at Amy and said, how about Anderson, South Carolina, the hotel right there off I-85? Why don't we just do that? Because this is
the Hilton Garden Inn right there on the left.
Yeah, this should not be so difficult. But, you know, everybody's trying to travel if you got the means to do it. And but our destination, being pulled in the middle of nowhere, you know how much I love the beach, was Anguilla.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, for the folks at Anguilla, there is a COVID outbreak because COVID heard the Packers were coming to Anguilla and COVID don't care.
COVID don't care.
COVID shut down the whole country, so we can't get to it. Mm-hmm. So we figured out plan B. But for a while there, I suggested the Electric City and maybe just a nice little spot off I-85 right there, the frontage road there at 85. But they didn't go for
Going to go to the Mr. Waffle maybe for breakfast, and then, you know.
I will support our sponsors in Bojangles. You know, I'm going to support my guys. but, yeah, we got it worked out, though. So,
yeah,
we'll be gone.
All right, nice.
And that'll be the deal.
Maybe south of the border next time, Pac. All right. Yeah. Here's top plays of the weekend. Let's start with Clemson. Mackenzie Clark, I'm going to say potential catch of the year at Syracuse, Pac.
That's strong
statement. Potential catch of the year for Mackenzie Clark. Now, if this were a softball edition of Wide Receiver U, winner.
Hey, these ladies right,
come
are
on, Pac.
Balling. These ladies are balling, man.
Come on, Pac.
They're just playing. Almost hit it in the dumpster back there in Syracuse, but no.
Almost. Caught. In the Josh Macri dumpster. Yeah, right there.
By the way, for our next highlight, and I know we just talked to Justin because he does the walk-off against Clemson. When you see this highlight, all right, I was going to point it out when we were talking to Justin. I want you to concentrate on the Clemson shortstop. All right, when you see this highlight of Justin going yard to walk it off, just watch the Clemson shortstop. he doesn't move until it reaches its apex, and then he just turns around to say, is it going to bust out a light? I mean, that is a smash, man. And the cool story that Justin said he got the ball back. In, just watch the shortstop.
Okay.
Ball game. That thing hit the light pole 40 feet up. It's cool he gave the ball to his mom, though. That's a great story.
Yeah, it is. That's awesome. That is awesome. Oh, wow. That's funny. The shortstop. All right. Next stop, lacrosse. Anish Roth told us that Friday's Syracuse Robert Morris game was going to be critical to John Desko and the Orange for their postseason hopes. And Owen Hiltz went to work for the Orange. Watch it here now. Nice. Watch this.
That was sweet.
See that?
How about the number 77?
Watch 77. Hello. That, just a little
number,
scoop.
Is that number? You like that number in lacrosse, 77, Wes?
Sure. Why not? Like yeah. 77? Let's go with that.
All right.
Sure. Pretty good. Like it. Cammy Compson for Pittsburgh is next.
This is a shot. Catch you. I'm not even going to go.
Good
I'm
night.
Not going to look at it.
Where'd that look at the land? Center fielder. Center fielder does something. She where's turns.
That
What's that sign say?
That ball I mean, landed in the middle of
can
the
we
Pirates
re-roll,
game.
Can we re-rack the center fielder back?
That ball landed during the Pirates game.
Watch the Florida State center fielder.
Yeah, and I don't think so.
Three steps, nope. I'm good.
I don't think I'm going to try to retrieve that one. That's in the Allegheny.
There you go. Pittsburgh, by the way, big win against Florida State. Noles win the series. Clemson softball wins the regular season in the ACC. Congratulations to the Tigers. John Rittman's done a fabulous job. We talked about it in hour one. So what happens when you win the regular season? You get a Gatorade bath.
Uh-oh. Heads up. Heads up.
All purple.
Heads up.
Look out, John. Look out.
Heads up. He knew it's coming.
Yeah, he did. Let me have the chart, Coach. Coach, give me the chart.
You know who likes those purple unis right there? Kelly Gramlich is pro all purple. She is
pro purple. Yep.
She loves all purple football, basketball, baseball, rowing, track and field. It doesn't matter. Kelly Gramlich is all purple all the time.
All right, good. So the KG purples for John Rittman and the Tigers.
Kelly Gramlich.
Final top play of the weekend. Here's the GOAT. I mean, you knew if Carolina was going to win this thing last night, their third straight field hockey national title, number one was going to have the ball. Bang.
She's just, I told you, she's got the it. Man, look at that shot. You kidding?
Jeez.
Froyo.
Froyo for everybody.
That's it. That's what I wrote her last night. Froyo for everybody.
Froyo for
extra
everybody.
Extra sprinkles,
that's right.
Extra chocolate, extra whatever you want. Yep. When you win the natty like that, again, yep. Back to back to back. And as soon as it went in, the first thing I thought of was Froyo. And the second thing I thought of was, can you guess that hairline? Because I knew there would be a Bubba Cunningham selfie with the hairline. I yep. knew that was coming. And go. Sure enough, I was right. Yep. Great win, though.
All right. Coach Sit Joe. Tight. Power Hour is next, and we start with Dallin Cuff. Speaking of golf games, sneaky golf from Dallin Cuff, I hear, taking place in the Constitution State. We're going to catch up on ACC soccer. We'll check the men's card with Dallin next. Packer and Durham on a Monday, presented by New York Life.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.